Okay, we're up to the paragraph in the Hakdama, V'tira im tizboni. That's the beginning of the paragraph. Okay. Second paragraph? Okay. Okay, I originally thought we'd finish this next paragraph, but I have my doubts. Okay, so we'll try to do whatever we can. V'tira im tizbonein behove barov ha'olam. And you'll see that if you think and contemplate what happens in most of the world, kirov anshe ha'seichel ha'mohir va'pikchim ha'charithim, right, most people who are smart, have a high IQ, okay, have fast minds, and are wise. Yosimu rov his bonanon listaklusam bedakus hachochmos veomeko ayunim ish ish kefinati asichlo vecheshko hativi. Most people spend their time delving into the various wisdoms of the world, right, each one according to his predisposition, what interests him. Okay. Just one point. If you look at most of the world are not interested in delving into anything except hamburgers and hot dogs. They're not really into wisdom or thinking about anything, or right. That's most of the world. And even most of the people that are intelligent and whatever, not putting their iyun into whatever he mentions over here. The basic idea is what's considered the world. You know, in the yeshiva world, there is a lot of times, if they say, olam makshe, the Welt asks, Welt's kasha. So they ask a lot of times, which world is asking this question? Most of the world has no idea of anything about Gemara, or surely not about Rabbi Kiva Eger's kasha, that it should be a Welt's kasha, right? A world's question. So what they say is that it depends what your perspective is, what's the world? The Chafetz Chaim used to say that the maps we have down here are very different than the maps they have in Shamayim. What may be a little dot on a map over here that's almost insignificant and not detectable in Shamayim may be a very, very important place. And some big places may be unimportant at all in Shamayim. Okay? Sure that Matityo has a big place on the map in Shamayim, even though down here it's a little nothing swallowed up even by bigger little nothings around us. Eretz Yisrael, Amaisa, doesn't even fit, the name doesn't fit within the country. You have to put it out somewhere in the Mediterranean on the map. But Eretz Yisrael, obviously, in the Rabban Shom's map is extremely important. So what is considered the world is not the way we see it physically. But for all practical purposes, that segment of the world that keeps the world going, and that's a significant part of the world, are the people that think and that pursue wisdom. Your people who spend their time investigating nature. Other peoples are involved in geometry and astronomy. And others are involved in more practical kind of things, industry. Others get closer to Kedusha. They actually put their learning into Torah. That's interesting. They get closer to Kedusha. That means that there's Kedusha in learning these other sciences and wisdoms also. Because they also are a crutch or an aid in learning Torah. So learning any wisdom of the Rabbanu Shel Olam, right, an emes of wisdom, has some Kedusha to it. But it's an indirect Kedusha. But when you learn Torah, you're learning that which has direct intrinsic Kedusha, so you're getting closer to the Kedusha. The other things, the Kedusha is peripheral. Here the Kedusha is intrinsic. Mehem, and even when it comes to learning Torah, there are different approaches to learning Torah. Mehem bepupule alocho, some learn pilpul. right? They learn the more theoretical back and forth of the Gemara. Mehem b'midrashim. Some learn more medrashim, right? They're more into the hashkafa of Torah. That's what medrash is. Medrash is hashkafa, musar. Mehem b'piskei adinim. Others spend their time learning halacha. Ach ma'atim yu min amin hazeh asher yikvu iyun v'limud al inyonei shleimus ha'avodah. Very few people, however, spend their time investigating and thinking deeply into the concepts or the components of the perfection of service to Hashem. Okay, and here's where we have to stop. And what is that? Al ahava, love of God; al hayira, fear of God; al hadvekus, cleaving to God; the al kol shar chelki achasidus, and everything that's included in chasidus. Now, on the surface, this is very difficult, what he's saying. Because he's making a difference between learning pilpulei halachas, dinim, medrashim, which is hashkafa, halacha, and Talmud Torah, which is a mitzvah, and shleimus ha'avoda, and the perfection of serving Hashem. Now, what are the other things? Halacha is not serving Hashem. And pilpulei, learning Torah, is not serving Hashem. And hashkafa is not serving Hashem. What does this mean? And ava, yira, and dveikus is serving Hashem? What's the... learning about ava and yira, why is that more of serving Hashem than learning about eating matzah? They're all equal mitzvahs. Yira is a mitzvah in the Torah, one of the 613, and ava is one of the 613. Eating matzah is one of the 613. So if I learn about matzah, why is that any different than learning about Yiras Hashem or Avas Hashem? What's this a difference of Shleimus or Avoda and the other things they describe of people who are learning Torah? So I think the answer is the following. We've said this many times, but again, the shir is to learn this inside, so we're going to repeat the idea. I found that the Maspik La'oved Hashem by the Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam, right in the way in the beginning of the work, mentions this concept, not exactly as I'm going to tell it to you, but the concept he does mention. If looking in the Vikuach, how he presents this, right, is he presents the idea of Shleimus Bavodas Hashem to be the concept of Bechol Drachecha Do'ehu, to know God in all your ways. That is pretty much how he describes the idea of Avodas Hashem, as opposed to the other things of learning halacha or whatever. So let me explain what I think it means. And again, if you look in the Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam, you'll see that the concept is an emissa concept. It's just that the way that I see it is a little bit more enhanced than what you'll find there. The Navi complains that Klal Yisrael keep the Torah tzav letzav, kav lekav, ze'er shom, ze'er shom. A mitzvah here, a mitzvah there, a line here, a line there, a little bit here, a little bit there. On the surface, the complaint doesn't seem to make sense, because that's the way we keep the Torah. You don't do all the Torah at once. You keep a mitzvah here and a mitzvah there. Today you blow shofar, and another time you eat matzah, and another time you eat in the sukkah, and another time you wave a lulav, and they are mitzvahs that are fragmented. The Torah is kept in a fragmented way. So what's the complaint? The answer is that mitzvahs have two parts to them. There's the actual performance of the mitzvah itself. That's one way of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is doing the mitzvahs. Okay? And that's reflected what we say in davening on Yontif. The kidashtonu b'mitzvosecha. You sanctified us with your mitzvahs. And yet, even after the mitzvahs, there's something more. The keravtonu malkeinu lavodasecha. You brought us close to your service. Now, it's obviously that service and mitzvahs are not the same thing. They're two separate things. So what is this idea of avodasecha as opposed to mitzvosecha? And you can't just say simply, well, avoda is davening and korbanos, that's called avoda. And mitzvahs are the other mitzvahs, because avoda, mitzvah, korbanos is also mitzvah. And so is davening a mitzvah. So why is that called more avoda than stam mitzvahs? And other mitzvahs are also called avoda. Torah is called avoda, and the other mitzvahs are also called an avoda. So what is the exact difference between mitzvah secha and avodah secha? The answer is that basically, Torah is merely an expression of God's will. And when it comes to God's will, there is no many things that God wants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want a lot of things, because He's one and His will is one. Hu Ritzono Echad. And therefore, when it comes to the will of God, God wants only one thing from us. And that's what the Gemara says. What is that one thing? Based on the Pasuk, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mimach, Ki Im Liyiras Hashem Elokecha. All God wants from us is that we should fear Him. Now, fear has two parts to it. The fear that we call fear, and fear also includes loving Hashem and standing in awe of Him. Yiras HaRomamus. Which, so, Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, that is Ratzon Hashem. Hein Yiras Hashem, Hein Beloshin Yevani is Echad. The only thing the Rebbe Shem wants is we should be Yirei Shemayim. That's really the only thing He wants. There's a heck of a lot of other mitzvahs out there. But the idea is that these mitzvahs are only expressions of how we can be Yirei Shemayim. How it applies to every single action in our life, every thought, speech, action. And Memela, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have just given us that one all-encompassing Ratzon Hashem, which applies to every action, every thought, every speech, everything you're doing in life, every second, right? But it's impossible for us to relate to that. To get that one all-inclusive Ratzon Hashem, and again, that's what he says in the Vikuach, is called Bechol Drachecha Do'ehu. Know God in everything you do. But that is so all-encompassing, it's impossible for us to deal with it directly. And the example I always like to give is you have this gigantic searchlight, light bulb, that is so big and so bright that you can't look at it directly. So you encase the light bulb in a globe that has 613 little windows in it. Through each little window, you see one small portion of the light bulb, which is seeable. But that's not. There's only one light bulb, and this is only a small portion of it. How do you know what the whole light bulb looks like? By looking through each of these windows consecutively, you get a picture, composite picture of the light bulb. So that's the way that you're able to see the entire light bulb. The light bulb is God's will. The mitzvahs are the windows to being able to understand what God's will is. So each mitzvah you do is a separate thing. You do the mitzvah, if you do it properly, you open a window. But it doesn't end with just opening the window. You have to look into the window now and see what does that mitzvah tell me about the general will of God, not just this mitzvah itself. Example, Shabbos. Shabbos is a very narrow mitzvah. It applies from Friday afternoon to Motzei Shabbos. That's it, once a week. And it has specific parameters. So a person can keep Shabbos meticulously, and he is fulfilling a mitzvah. But the Shabbos is a window to the all-encompassing will of God that applies to everything in a person's life. It's supposed to mold your standards and values, goals, lifestyle, right, in one specific way. So what is it that you're supposed to learn from Shabbos that will spill over to the rest of your life and reveal to you one aspect of God's will, not just for this specific mitzvah of Shabbos, but for your entire lifestyle? So one of the ideas of Shabbos, which is obvious, is that God created the world in 6 days. So the 6 days of creation, the 6 days of the physical world are important, but they're not the end in itself. The goal of the 6 days of creation is Shabbos, which represents the world to come. So a person's involvement in the physical world is a means to reach an end, not an end in itself. So a person who keeps Shabbos meticulously fulfills the mitzvah of Shabbos, and he'll get rewarded for it. But if he, the whole week, centers his world totally around earning more money, then he's missed the message of what Shabbos is supposed to teach him. He's missed the Ratzon Hashem that comes from Shabbos, even though he's fulfilling the mitzvah of Shabbos. But the Avoda, that's called Avoda. Avoda is fulfilling the Ratzon of the Rabban Shalom, or even more, initiating God's will. That's why Korbanos, Tefillah, we say, Yehi Ratzon Milfanecha. May this be your will. We are now dealing with your will, not your command. And that's why by Korbanos it says, Nachas Ruach She'amarti V'naaseh Ritzoni. I commanded and my will was done. Not just my command, my will. And we've explained in the past that that is why sometimes the Torah speaks about Shmiya Likol Hashem, V'shamata Likolo, listen to his voice. And sometimes the Torah speaks about Shmiya Bikol Hashem, listen into his voice. And the source of that, I think, is in the following parsha. It says by Avram Avinu, after the Akedah, it says, Yan asher asisa sadavar hazeh, because you did this thing, and it's very explicit, what was that thing? V'lo chasavta es bincha es yechidcha mimeni. Because you did not, what's it called, hold back your son from me. You were willing to sacrifice him. Ki vorecha vorechecha. Because of that, I will bless you. You and your son. The harba arbe zaracha, give you a lot of children, grandchildren. The harba arbe zaracha, the hisbarchu bezaracha kol goyei haaretz, and all the people in the world will be blessed through your children. Eikev asher shomata bekoli, because you listen to my voice. So the obvious question I think is, why is it necessary to repeat those last three words? Eikev. Or four words. Eikev asher shomato bekoli. It's said clearly in the beginning of the pasuk why you're getting this bracha. You're getting it yan asher asisa es hadover hazeh. In case you don't know what the dover hazeh is, v'lo chasachta es bincha es yechidecha. And therefore you get this bracha. Why repeat again eikev asher shomato bekoli? Because you listen to my voice. It said already what he did. The answer, I think, is that there's two separate brachas. Because you did the thing, you listened to my command, and you were willing to sacrifice your son, you get a bracha. Mida keneged mida. You were willing to give up your son, I'll give you more children, grandchildren, whatever. That's mida keneged mida. But Avraham Avinu didn't just do the command. He went beyond the command. Where is that? Had he just done the command, then when God sent an angel and said, leave the kid alone, I don't want you to shecht him, then Avraham Avinu should have packed his bags and gone home. The end. I had a command, shecht your son. Right? The command is over, right? Abrogated, explained in a way that I thought differently, doesn't apply anymore, go home. He didn't go home. As soon as that command was abrogated, Avraham Avinu went and sacrificed a ram instead of Yitzchak, and he called the place Har Hashem Yeroeh, right? He dedicated it for prayer in the future. Who asked him to do all that? He had a command. Do your command. You finish with the command, go home. Who asked you to enhance it and enlarge upon it? The answer is, Avraham Avinu did more than just a command. He heard a command from God, but it represented to him God's will. And therefore, if this specific command of shechting my son doesn't apply, but I see that God likes sacrifices, there is an idea of this sacrifice not. So I'll bring another sacrifice in this place. I see that the Rabbanu Shalom felt that this place where he commanded me to do this is an important place. So I'll enhance the place. He went beyond the command and saw beyond the window that the command opened the all-encompassing will of God that command represent. Therefore, you got a reward for the doing the command. You were willing to give up your son. I'll give you more children. But that the Hisbaruch Ubezaracha Kol Goyorzin, that all the world will be blessed through your children, where did that come from? That came for something else. Eikev Asher Shomata Bikoli, because you listened into what I said. And you were willing to understand the implications, So the whole world will understand from your implications. They'll be blessed through you. That's Midah Keneged Midah too. So there's two ideas. There's Shmiya Likol Hashem and Shmiya Bikol Hashem. That explains why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah the way he did. Why he gave the Aseres HaDibros, and then he gave the entire Torah. Right? And when he gave the Aseres HaDibros, he did it also in an unusual way. First he gave all the Dibros in 1 second, which a human being can't say or hear. And then he went and said them separately, and then the rest of the Torah was given. Why was it given like that? Why couldn't it just be given, 613 mitzvahs? Why do you have to give the Aseres? What's special about the Aseres HaDibros? So, what I think is the following. Had God given the Torah just 613 mitzvahs, one after the other, then there would be the place to make a mistake to think that it's just a bunch of mitzvahs. There's just a bunch of things to do. But it's not one unified expression of God's will that applies to a person's entire life, lifestyle, values, standards, goals, and so on. Personality. There's not just that one all-encompassing Ratzon Hashem. And therefore, Achaz Dibur Elokim. The Rabbanu Shalom gave us one unified mitzvah that is the representation of his unified, all-encompassing will. But it's impossible for us to deal with that. We can't hear it. It's too overwhelming, too all-encompassing for us to deal with. But the Rabbanu Shalom wanted us to know that that's why he had to opt for giving it separately, because it's impossible for us to deal with it. Shnayim zu shamanu. We had to hear it too. But in order to bring the message home even stronger, he didn't stam then go and give 613 mitzvahs. He contained all the 613 mitzvahs in 10 dibros. That's what Psav Yigon says. That all the mitzvahs are somewhere contained within these 10. And the number 10 itself represents a unity of many things. That's why the number 10, till 9, is separate integers. 10 takes all those integers and makes them into a unit of 10. That's a decimal system. And the next number is not a new number. It's 10 plus 1. You build on that unit. Achad Esrei. And in Arabic numerals, it's one unit of tens and zero ones. So 10 is the number that represents the unity of many things. That's why a minion is 10. That's why Kedusha is 10. Kedusha is taking the very many things in the world and uniting them under God. That's Kedusha. So this is the concept of the Aseres HaDibros. They're nothing special. Every mitzvah is just as important as every other mitzvah. But these 10 represent the totality of all of them within a unit of 10s. But we couldn't deal with that either. We need to hear them separately. So then the Rabbanu Shalom gave them separately. But never should you think that they're separate things. That's what the Navi complains. Tzav l'tzav, don't do the Torah as if it's just a bunch of things to do. It's not a bunch of things to do. It's one unified lifestyle, values, standards, personality. The mitzvahs are the windows to be able to mold that entire unity. They're not just separate, disjointed things to do. That's the difference between mitzvahs and what he's talking about, learning or whatever, even learning Torah as a specific one mitzvah, or delving into the what's behind the window. Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, and Dveikus Hashem, which is all one thing, that's called Avoda. That's the Avoda. That's the purpose, so to say, of keeping all these mitzvahs. That you should come to Ava and Yira, and that is Dveikus. They're not three separate things. They're all aspects of the same thing. In order to have Dveikus Hashem means cleaving to God, where every single thing you do in a godly way. That's what we describe Yirat Shamayim. Everything you do, you realize you're created being, created by God. It puts a certain fear in you that you shouldn't not live up to that. It puts a certain love that you have a chance to be one with God. And therefore, the Dveikus is everything I do should be done for God's sake in a godly way. That's called Dveikus Hashem. And that's what he says in the Vikuach, the other version of Mesillas Yesharim, is Bechol Drachecha Do'ehu. Know God. Knowing over here doesn't mean knowing him, intellectually. It means, knowledge means to get close to him, to have a connection to him, to attach yourself to him, as it says by Adam, Vayeda Adam Eschava Ishto. That kind of yediyah, carnal knowledge, is attaching yourself. Have an attachment, constant attachment to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That is the goal of all the mitzvahs. If you keep them just as mitzvahs, you get rewarded. But you're missing the purpose. The goal is this idea of dveikus, which is achieved by Ava and by Yira. Okay? That, in my estimation, is what he's talking about over here. Okay? Many people are involved in the components and the details, but miss the forest because of the trees. And we always like to give the example, which I'm sure many of you have heard till it comes out of your ears, but you didn't hear it as many times as I heard it from me, so I'm going to say it again. And since my mother-in-law begged me to say this over and over, because she's hoping that one time I would listen to it myself, so maybe this will be the time. The famous Maisa with Rav Shlaga Feivel Mendelovich. She actually told me that. She said, I hope you'll say this mashal over as many times as you can, because I'm sure one time you're going to hear it. From your mother I could take more service. Okay. So maybe this is the time. The Shlaga Feivel Mendelovich, there must be somebody here who didn't hear this, so it's for your sake. Shlaga Feivel Mendelovich, these two little kids probably there. He was the Menahel of Torah Vadas about 80 years ago in New York, and he was the founder of Torah Mesorah. And he related the following story to one of his star Talmidim, who happened to be my day school principal in Miami, Rabbi Alexander Gross. The school there is now named for him, Alexander S. Gross Hebrew Academy. So Rabbi Gross, I was about 16 years old, and I used to speak at the dinners of the academy like the monkey on the end of the chain to help make people give money to the academy. So they had one of these poor scholarship cases that would speak, you know, to generate some kind of... So I used to speak at the dinners of the academy, and I used to travel there, Rabbi Gross, so he had a chance to talk to me and a chance to find out a lot of interesting things. So he once told me this story. His Rebbe told him that he was once invited Friday night to eat by a gevir that wanted the covet of having this Rosh Hashiva eat by him. And the men came home from shul, and the gevir knocked on his door, opened the door, looked inside, turned white, was ready to faint. So Shlaga Feivel said, I realized there was something really not right at the other side of that door, and I was curious, so I peeked in. And right away, I surmised what the problem was. The house was a mess, the table wasn't set, and the housewife looked like she just came from Mars. He said, what I figured out is this poor woman was tired from preparing for Shabbos, and while the men were in shul, she must have said to herself, I think I'll lie down for a few minutes, and I'll get up in plenty of time to put the house in order and set the table before the men come home from shul. And she fell into a deep sleep, and she didn't wake up till they knocked on the door. So the house was a mess, the table wasn't set, and she was hovering somewhere between this world and some other world. Now, Rav Shlaga Feivel assumed that this guy turned white because he was, you know, upset that the house looked like it did. But as things progressed, Rav Shlaga Feivel said, so that didn't bother him, because he understood that I understood that this is not his fault. This is his wife's fault. So that didn't bother him that much. But as things progressed, I found out what really was bothering him. On the table were the two challahs without a challah cover, uncovered. And the man was concerned that I would think, said Rav Shlaga Feivel, that he was an Am Haaretz and didn't know you're supposed to cover the challahs. So in order to cover himself, he starts yelling at his wife, you are lazy, incompetent, don't you know you're supposed to cover the challahs? Now he got the message across to me that I know now that he knows you're supposed to cover the challahs, and this terrible thing is his wife's fault that the challahs are sitting there uncovered. Shlaga Feivel said, at that moment I thought to myself, this is the most absurd thing I ever heard in my life. Because one of the reasons we cover the challahs when we make kiddush is because the bread is more important than the wine. And during the week, if you'd have a wine party, you'd first make a motzi, and then you'd make a bari priya gofen. But Shabbos, you can't do that. Shabbos, you have to make Kiddush first. So in order not to slight the bread, Shavoyira HaPas Boshto, we cover the challah, in order not to insult it. Now, Shagafayel said, what's it called? I don't know, maybe my wife bakes insensitive challahs. But, you know, I never came home from shul, said something not nice to my challahs. They ran off the table, locked themselves in their room until I could appease them. Happened a few times with my daughters, never with my challahs. Right? Personally, I never saw an embarrassed challah in my life. And if anybody did, I'm sure there's professional people who could help you. Right? What does that mean? And imagine inviting somebody to your house, right, who's never seen a Shabbos table. Right? Somebody, you know, Rabbi Schuster sent off the wall to you. Right? And his first Shabbos table ever sees, and he sees these two loaves of bread covered by this thing in the middle of the table. And he says, why are those breads covered? And we say, shh, we don't want to embarrass them. The guy will think you're off the wall. Right? You're going to embarrass the bread. How about the door? What's it called? The table? Are we embarrassing that tonight? So, it's obvious that the idea behind covering the challahs is, amongst others, but one basic idea is that if you condition yourself not to insult an inanimate object, you'll never come to insult a human being. The Ratzon Hashem that comes from this minig, the minig is cover the challahs. But what does God mean by that? What's the intent of the minig? What's the implication? Obviously, they should learn from that not to insult human beings. So somebody who covers their challahs but insults human beings, he's shomea likol Hashem, he's listening to what God said, he's kept the minig, but shmia bikol Hashem, listening into it, is obviously missing. So that's what the Mesillas Yesharim is talking about. Most people spend their time dealing with the windows and not looking inside and seeing what the window... If you don't do the mitzvah properly, you can't just keep Yiddishkeit in its what's the purpose of it? What's the idea behind it? Because if you don't keep the mitzvah, you'll never understand the idea behind it. In order to be able to see inside the window and see that light bulb in all of its different positions, you first have to do the mitzvah, and you have to do it properly. If you don't do the mitzvah properly, you'll never get a glimpse of that Ratzon Hashem. But once you've done the mitzvah properly, it doesn't end there. Then there's an additional thing of contemplating, right, how does this mitzvah fit into the all-encompassing will of God that applies to a person's entire life. And that is called Avodas Hashem as opposed to Mitzvos Hashem. And the Avodas Hashem is represented basically by Yiras Shamayim, as we showed. And Yiras Shamayim includes Avas Hashem and ultimately Dveikus Hashem. So when he mentions Ava, Yira, and Dveikus, it's what he says in the Vikuach is Bechol Drachecha Do'eyu. Knowing God, attaching yourself to God in every aspect of your life, thought, speech, action, and so on. So that's what we're talking about. The opposition of being involved in the details, which are extremely important, not minimizing their importance, but that's not the end. It goes beyond that. It's not just doing a bunch of things. It's a totality of lifestyle, value, standards, goals, personality, and so on. Okay. Is that pretty clear? Okay. Any questions on that? If not, we'll go on. Okay. The Lomit Nesha ain't Dvarimela Ikar Emetzlam. It's not because people who delve into Torah don't consider these things important. Ki im tishalohem kol echad yomer shezehu ha'ikar ha'gadol. If you ask people, they'll tell you this is obviously the main principle of Torah, that it should permeate your entire life, that you should serve God, not just fulfill His commands. V'shelo yidu mechacham she'echacham be'emes shelo yisbaru etzlo kod v'meilo. And no one could ever be considered wise if his wisdom doesn't include an understanding of all these things. In other words, Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, and Dveikus, or Bechol Drachech, or Do'eyu, because that's the Ikar of Das, the Ikar of knowledge. Ach, Mashalo Yirbu La'ayin Olav, whom Ipnei Rov Pirsum Hadvarim, Upshitusa Netzlam. The fact that they don't delve into it is because they don't think it's necessary. They think it's self-understood. Even without any thought, right, without any investigation, these things are obvious. I don't have to spend time on this. This is something that is so obvious that it's just instinctively understood. V'lo yishoyer limud advarim la'elu kriyas asfarim mizehanin kim eitzel osam she'ein siklam kol kach dak. Who usually involves themselves in investigating in the yeshivas? Right? Who are the guys who are involved in Musar and what's it called and these kind of things? The guys who aren't so smart. That's usually the case. The guys who can't make it, you know, in the pilpul and the chidushim and the chaburas. So if they want to find something that's satisfying, they have to do it in the things that are more low key. Right? So they're into the Musar, into the what's it called, the Kor of Lios Gas. These are people whose minds are not so well honed and more Gas is what's a good word for Gas? Thick, crude, thick, right? Thick headed. Right? It doesn't mean crude headed, but it means thick headed. Right? They're thick heads. She'ela tiro some shoktim al kol zevelo yozim. These are the people who really spend time on these things because they really don't have the capability of spending time on deeper things. Right, until we become accustomed, when you see a guy who's really frum, right, he's what we would call frumkeit, right, he's always rubbing his hands together and what's it called and looking down and doing all these things that look frum. Usually assume the guy's a thick-headed guy because he really can't get involved in the more esoteric, really high-class thing, so he opts to be frum. V'ulam told us a minig azer ros ma'o. This minig, that it's only the weak-minded people that are involved in what's the main thing, because the other people think they don't need to be involved because it's obvious, is very bad. L'chachom, it's bad both for the chachomim and for the people who are not chachomim. Because in the end, real chassidus, which is real avodas Hashem, is going to be lost from both of them. Because the people who can handle it and know what it is aren't going to know it because they're not involved in it. And the people who are involved in it because they don't have great minds are not going to really understand it properly, and they're going to end up thinking that avodas Hashem is something that it's not. Right? It'll be very difficult to find real chassidus, meaning real avodas Hashem in the world. Because the chachamim who could really discover it will not discover it because they're not involved in it. The yechser min habilti chachamim lemiut hasagosim also. And the people who are not chachamim, who are involved, but they won't really be able to understand it. They really need to be guided by people who are smarter than them, who will look into these things and guide them and direct them properly to what it really is. So in the end, there's going to be a distorted view of what Avodas Hashem is, because the people who are going to be involved in it are the people who really won't understand it properly. And the people who could understand it properly won't, because they're not involved in it. Okay. Okay, we're going to stop here. I really wanted to finish the paragraph, but I have a lot to say about the next piece, just to be medayik in the words even, which I think is important, so we'll leave this for the next year. Yes?
Isn't this what's created when you see people who are black and white and probably studying yeshivas and avalacha, but will, you know, push people over so that they get on the bus first, or...
Yeah, we're not only talking, okay, that's people who, you're not even holding by this, because those are obvious mitzvahs, right? There are mitzvahs, things that, you know, that we're not talking about people who learn Torah, whatever, and speak Lashon Hara, or whatever. Those are mitzvahs. We're talking about people that keep all the mitzvahs, but somehow the glue that puts it all together misses them, right? You're talking about a lower level. Somebody who learns Torah but doesn't keep even the basic mitzvah the person's supposed to keep. But here we're talking about people keep all the mitzvahs. You can keep all the mitzvahs, but not see how there's a glue that underlies all of them that's supposed to form and mold a person's way of life. That's the difference.
What do you do when you see a glow in one of those windows?
What do you mean?
Let's say you don't particularly see how shaking the laws were...
Okay, so that's why, what's it called, the more that you learn in general about Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, and Dveikus Hashem, then when you do the mitzvahs, you'll be able to trace it back and understand what this mitzvah, because it could be that you're not aware of what these concepts are, so you don't see them in the mitzvahs. So sometimes, first you have to learn the concept, and then you'll be able to see it even clearer from the mitzvah itself. But if you don't know what the concepts are, you don't know what you're looking for. So all you see lulav is shaking a thing, and maybe it has, you know, some kind of magical powers to it, which it does. Not magical, but whatever. But there's much more to it, too. Okay, we'll continue this. Yeah.
Why is it that the way he does it is to go through bit by bit the different lulav of Hashem, if you like, instead of learning it through the mitzvah? Instead of looking at each other and saying, well, Shabbat shows us this, and this shows us this, and going through like a Sefer HaMitzvah, explaining how you see what's going to happen through the mitzvah.
Because it's not only an intellectual pursuit. Going through Sefer HaMitzvah, the Tamei HaMitzvah, not doing the mitzvahs, will satisfy your mind, maybe. But doing the mitzvah makes it something real to you and implants it in your neshama. And since understanding these concepts is not an intellectual thing, it's something that has to permeate mamish your whole body and soul, you have to do the mitzvah to be able to do that. The mitzvah itself has an effect on your entire being, spiritual and physical, whereas just learning the concept only affects your mind. So you may decide to act like that sometimes, but it's not going to transform you into a different person. That's the idea. Okay, we're going to continue this next week anyway, so we'll there's more to speak about this.